Okay, Sharon, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we're back. We're here talking with Sharon Jensen, the grandmother of Johnny Nakao. How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get over his death. I'm not very happy about it. I believe that he was murdered by the San Jose police. It was actually legal murder, and I believe that that's what it's going to come out, that he did not commit a crime. He had left what he was trying to take in the store. They had no right to follow him. I know that the autopsy report shows there were no taser marks on him, and that the doctor who did the autopsy said that if a taser had been fired and had made contact with any of his clothing, it would have stuck. And I just believe that these police wanted to have another person that they could kill and legally get away with it.
Sharon, this is Getza. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, what happened and what day this happened, and, you know, sort of like, you know, give a story, his, you know, like a story as to, so that people will know what occurred and where it occurred?
Johnny was in San Jose, and it was August 12th, it was 9:35 in the morning. He went into a Radio Shack. Now, Johnny wasn't perfect. Johnny had problems with schizophrenia, and he was in a program which he found difficult to complete. He was hearing voices. He went into the Radio Shack. He attempted to steal a CD player. When he was caught and the police were called, he dropped the CD player and went out the back door. This is where the police say they first fired their tasers, and they didn't work. They followed him about 300 yards, chasing him. Now, remember, he didn't commit a crime. Chasing him, he got in front of this one house where these people live that have already told me what exactly happened, that the officers said, drop your weapon three times. He had a pocket knife, just a normal pocket knife. He folded up the pocket knife, he put it in his pocket, and they shot him.
Oh my God.
They shot him three times. And this was wrong. This was absolutely, totally wrong.
Who shot him, Sharon?
I don't know the name of the officers, but I know that one had been on the force for 13 years, and one had been on the force for 7. I understand one of them works at a middle school in San Jose during the day, and he's a very rough cop, and not thought of very highly. And this is what they had done to my grandson. And I really believe they will get away with legal murder. Only because I'm saying this, because my husband was a deputy at one time, and he went through the same academy. And it says, when you shoot to kill. Well, why do you shoot to kill when there's other organs you can shoot? A leg, a hand, you know? Why can't you aim somebody? Why do you have to murder them? And why did they even chase him? He had not committed a crime. I'm just, you know, I'm beside myself. You know, this was my 21-year-old grandson.
Hi, Sharon?
Uh-huh.
This is Regina Cardenas.
Hi.
I first want to say sorry, and, you know, I know what you're going through.
I know you do.
And I also wanted to ask, how long did it take you or your family to find out what had happened? Did they inform you right away, or did it take a long time?
It happened at 9:35 in the morning. I was in a fabric store in Magalia, and that happened about 4 o'clock. They informed my son-in-law, and he immediately informed me at 4 o'clock. And he laid there on the street for 5 hours. There was no thought of what he was doing, how it was affecting people that were passing by. He just laid there. And the first shot that they fired went through his heart, out the back, but they continued to shoot him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, this was my baby.
And Johnny's father is a deputy, is that correct?
He's a deputy.
And I mean, did he know these officers, or have they said anything
to him? No, he didn't know them.
Oh, okay.
No, but this is their brotherhood. This is their other family, is law enforcement. So, I mean, right now he's waiting. He's pending autopsy reports. I hope that he finds out that they did exactly what I'm saying, and he is affected by it, and he does something about it. I requested a grand jury open so that we can be there. But I do know there were several witnesses that saw this, and it was totally uncalled for.
Do you want to urge organizations or, you know, just members of the community to also write letters or call on this to request the same thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who did you contact about this?
I have been talking to other people who are involved, such as Vita, and she's trying to help. We contacted an attorney.
And who is
But we
Vita?
Can't do anything. We're grandparents.
Okay. And, I mean, can the public contact the district attorney? Are there... how can we help you?
I don't know. All I'm doing is I'm following what Vita's telling me.
Okay.
And I know that she's helping you.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, my heart goes out to you. I know how you feel. I know. And I think that this is something that the public should be made aware of. But there are police that are getting away with legal murder. And they keep shooting people. I understand between your father and Johnny, there were 10 other killings. That's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
That these people's lives have been wiped out.
I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of families maybe not knowing what avenues to go through, or just not even fighting. They just think that's how it is, and they're just going to get away with it no matter what. And that's where all the families need to pull together and, you know, keep fighting.
I agree with you. If I knew more, if I was down in San Jose, it would be easier for me to be able to make contact with people. But being up here, nobody even knows about what happened up here. An occasional person would know. But, I mean, it's the same way up here, you know.
Sure.
We don't have the killings up here.
Mm-hmm.
We just have people that don't care.
You know, Sharon, one thing that... the media kept on focusing is that Johnny had these mental problems, and the thing about it is that should not be a reason to kill a human being.
No, of course,
you know?
not.
It's not important, because a lot of times, you know, we're going through so many problems in the community with poverty and, you know, dealing with all kinds of problems. And, you know, it's hard to be normal nowadays in these communities, you know. Almost every family has problems, you know. And so I don't think that they should even mention, you know, these mental problems. He was a human being.
That's,
you know,
right.
He was a child. They killed a child.
Just a child.
Yes.
And, you know, he had the most loving, warm heart you could imagine. He was so loving and gentle and tender with the way he talked to me. It was nothing like they're making him out to be. Johnny was a sweet, sweet kid. And he hadn't even gone to manhood. He didn't even have a driver's license. He was talking about having children with his girlfriend and how he was going to support them. He had a wonderful girlfriend, and, you know, life has stopped for him. And to me, my heart is broken for him. Because I raised him. He was a good kid.
So you were the one that had connections with him, direct connections with Johnny.
Always. Always. I had him. My daughter gave birth to him by cesarean, and she was terribly frightened of him. I stayed with them a week. And after the week was up, the next morning, when I didn't go over there, she showed up on my front porch. And she went back to her job, and she was in the military. She was a recruiter for the National Guard. And she worked up to the time she had Johnny. And when she went back to work, Johnny became mine. And it was just like Johnny was always Grandma's baby. Even our pediatrician who showed up at his funeral said that she remembered what a sweet, loving child he was. And she imagined as a man, he was a sweet and loving man, and he was. There wasn't a day that went by that he wouldn't hug and kiss me, tell me, Grandma, I love you. This was no vicious animal in the store. Mm-hmm. This was a loving child. And I think the 21 is still a child.
Yes, absolutely.
He was born on my 40th birthday. He was my birthday present. And I adored him. And I will miss him so much.
Sharon, did he have any brothers and sisters?
He had a brother, Ryan. And he had another brother, Stuart. And Stuart lives in Texas. And Ryan lives in San Jose.
And how does he feel about it?
He's very, very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he should have been more involved. And of course his dad is saying the same thing. I should have been more involved. I should have been more loving. I should have been more kind. I should have understood him. I should have done things more for him instead of taking the tough love approach. And what else do you expect a policeman to do? They don't have love. Not him. I don't understand.
But Vita, does she live in San Jose?
Yeah. Vita lives in San Jose.
So, and the family and community has, from my understanding, has been, mobilizing and, trying to support the family, right?
Right.
Is that true?
Vita was my foster child. Mm-hmm. And she has turned out to be a wonderful young woman. And she's, she's helped me through this.
That's so good.
And I really, really adore her.
Yes.
And I think without her, I probably would have fallen apart because I lost a daughter on Mother's Day. And with her help and her love and her understanding, she's helped me to the point now where I don't sit and cry constantly, that I'm able to get out of bed again.
If those pigs who murdered your grandson knew that he was the deputy's son, do you think they would have acted differently?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think
I really believe they would have known. They would have acted totally different.
Do you think that him being the deputy's son, that this is going to, affect the trial one way or the other?
I don't know.
You don't know, yeah.
I really don't know. I don't know how far his father will go.
Do you know if the father has found an attorney?
He hasn't found an attorney.
I'm sorry?
He hasn't found an attorney. I know he hasn't.
Do you think that he'll, pursue any kind of, any kind of charge or anything?
I think it will be based on the autopsy.
So he's just
waiting. It will be based on facts that will come out. And I think that he will act on that. That he He knows more than he tells me now. And that I've asked him if Johnny was on any kind of drug, and he said he doubted it highly. So, he knows more. He just won't tell me.
So most of his family, most of Johnny's family is outside of San Jose. Is that true?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
His brother is there, his dad's in Porterville, and he has aunts and uncles in Morgan Hill. But basically, he has an uncle in Los Banos. Most of them are out. They're out. My son lives up here now, and my granddaughter. Most of his cousins live in Los Banos. Some of them live in Modesto. But it, I mean, there's really not many people in San Jose anymore.
Sharon, this is Donna speaking. I just wanted to let you know that that recently the city of San Jose, the city government of San Jose recently made a decision to change the coroner's office from a separate office of its own. It is now under the auspices of the Sheriff's Department of Santa Clara County.
Oh, huh, that's not good.
I thought that should be important information for you to know.
Like I'm saying, I'm sure my son-in-law knows more. He just won't tell me until it becomes public. He won't tell me because he knows I'm so angry. He knows that I am just, angry.
Yeah, understandably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is wrong. I mean, this is so wrong.
It's criminal.
It is, but you know, they seem to want to get away with it all the time. Oh. And that's what bothers me so much, is that my son-in-law will not see that this is what is wrong, and I'm hoping that he will go and he will find out what killed his son, and then he will do something about them. Because they are not human.
They're not, no.
They are not human.
They'll use any excuse to kill someone, you know?
I believe that.
Yep.
I believe it.
That is a tragedy, such a tragedy that, you know, your son-in-law is a deputy. You know, he is one of, you know, works for the pigs. So.
I know. But yet,
tragedy.
Then again, a father wouldn't have treated Johnny the way his father did if it hadn't been for his police background.
Right.
That's the way he treated Johnny the way he did. And Johnny had a hard life when Johnny wasn't with me and trying to stand on his own 2 feet. His life was very difficult for him.
So you're saying that his father was really tough on him?
Oh, his father was terribly tough on him.
For example?
Any kind of a disgrace that Johnny would bring on the family. As a kid, he got into some trouble. And his dad was really mad. And I went to court with Johnny. And his dad finally decided that he was going to go, but he wouldn't talk to Johnny while he was waiting. He used physical force.
Yes.
He didn't allow Johnny in his house. He decided he was going to use the tough love approach, that he wouldn't accept him, he wouldn't love him, unless Johnny did what he wanted him to do. Whereas my love for Johnny was unconditional. So I was the bad person because whatever I did to help Johnny and the love that I gave him wasn't forceful. So when I would do things to help Johnny, to get him out of trouble, to take him where he needed to go, to supervise what he was doing, to watch him, this was beyond the father. He couldn't be bothered. The father did not raise Johnny.
Sharon, can I ask you another question? If the father doesn't want to, insist or push for a grand jury, are you still, willing to do it?
Of course I am. I've already told my son-in-law I want an open grand jury.
Yes.
That's good.
I've told him. I want an open grand jury. I will fight for an open grand jury.
That's excellent.
And he understands where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Because that was my child. As much as it was his child, it was his biological child.
Yes.
But it was my child.
Yes.
And my child is gone. My child's gone now. And he didn't have to treat him the way he did. And I tried so hard to understand how anybody could kill such a sweet child.
Yes. So, you know, my condolences. I'm Layla. I haven't had, you know, family members killed by the state before, and, you know, hope to God that doesn't happen. But, you know, your grandson, the child that you raised, you know, just putting this out on free radio, he was murdered by the pigs in San Jose. What date?
On the 12th of August.
On the 12th of August. You know, they had the San Jose pigs, you know, they're on a murder spree, you know, this year. You know, it's just absolutely horrendous how many people they've killed so far in San Jose.
I know.
Actually, considering we have we're active with somebody in San Jose who keeps records on the brutality of the pigs in San Jose area. For he has, I think, his records go back 15, 20 years. And actually, this is a typical year for the pigs. Typically, they kill 5 to 6 to 7 people a year. So this is a typical year for them. The year that was outstanding for them was 1999 when they murdered 12 people.
Gangsters.
Yeah, that's true. They are. There's no reason. You know, these were not people committing murder on somebody else. These were innocent people. These were people who may have had a problem, may not have had a problem. May have been misunderstood, but these were not people they needed to kill. Absolutely did not.
You know, Sharon, I wanted to tell you an example of the San Jose PD. Last night, I was coming home from the center at 12 midnight because I was working on the internet, and I decided to go to the Jack in the Box in East San Jose on Tully to get, you know, just something to drink. I think I got a lemonade. And as I got out, there was a long line of traffic, and I couldn't understand why, so I squeezed myself through, and there was a roadblock on King and Tully, and it was like an army of 100 San Jose PDs all dressed in military khakis. And it was just so scary. I thought, am I in Iraq or what?
Really, you that's know, what it sounds like.
It was just really scary, and they were stopping everybody, including myself. And you know, they asked me for my ID, and I said, "Why do you want my driver's license? I haven't done anything. I was at Jack in the Box." And he said, "Well, we just want to know whether you're drunk." I said, excuse me? I was kind of upset about it because, you know, they were insulting me. And so I had a, you know, very intense discussion with them. And, you know, but they were stopping everybody. There was traffic. There was some, you know, coincidentally, it was right after Jack in the Box, where all of the youth, you know, stopped by and get something to eat. So it seemed like they were focusing on the youth. You know, these military, you know, they're military. They are. They're acting like military people. It was really scary.
Horrible. I think they're horrible. I know. When we need them, if we're going to be murdered, I would like to have one there. But I'm afraid that they might murder me by mistake. Mm-hmm. I am really afraid of the police.
Absolutely.
I hate them.
Yes.
I absolutely hate them. I mean, I just cannot. I cannot. I don't know. I see red when I see them.
We We totally agree with you on that. This is Donna again. I just wanted to let you know that those of us who are here in the studio today, we are standing up totally 100% behind you. If you want to press for open grand jury, whatever it takes, we will. Because those of us, we live in San Jose and Santa Cruz, we're much closer than you are. So we will do whatever it takes to put the pressure on the system that, as you know, and that hopefully we'll be able to put the pressure on so that they will have no choice but to do an open grand jury. You just let us know what you want, and we'll do it.
I want an open grand jury. Yes. I want an open grand jury so badly.
And if you want us to have protests on Story Road where your baby child, beautiful, loving human being, was murdered in cold blood for no reason whatsoever, we will have protests there. You just let us know what's okay to do, and we will do it. We promise you that.
I would love to have a protest. I go over there to where he was killed, and we have a shrine. And people, we don't even know, bring candles and light them for him.
Mm-hmm. For Johnny Nicol.
Yeah.
And
his picture is there. There's tons of flowers. He must have touched mm-hmm. other people. Not just us, because we're up here. We just went down for he had been cremated, and we went down for his interment or whatever it is. And we were so surprised. There was like 25 candles lit.
Mm-hmm.
There was this picture of him. There was all kinds of trinkets
mm-hmm.
that people have left for him. So he must have touched somebody. Somebody
yes.
must have heard this.
Yes.
And they cared. They cared enough to go there.
Yes.
They cared enough to say a prayer for him.
Mm.
And I mean, I really want everything done that can possibly be done in
Absolutely.
Order to stop this.
Yes.
It has to be stopped.
We need to, mobilize people in San Jose.
All over.
All over, yep. And
I agree.
I'm sure that this is happening in Santa Cruz as well, Watsonville, San Francisco, all over the Bay Area. This is occurring, and the people have to come together and mobilize. And I really feel that if people can relate to what, this tragedy of this young child that was executed by police officers that are supposed to take care of the civilians. If people understand, please call. You can call Freak Radio at 831-427-3772. And I really, appreciate that Freak Radio has allowed us to have this a discussion to explain to the community about what's really happening out there, in our communities, these tragedies that are occurring. And so we have to break this silence. It's so important for us to break the silence, and to speak up, to hold our voice, to make these changes, to protect the lives of our loving relatives, our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, everybody, because we have a right to live. Everybody has a right to live and be protected. So please, if anybody is interested, please call the radio station, Freak Radio, 831-427-3772. And, we're having the opportunity to speak with Sharon Jensen. She is the grandmother of young Johnny Nicol, 21 years old, a young man that, he didn't even have a mustache, he was a child executed by the San Jose PD, and that, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
Totally unacceptable.
Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for calling in and speaking out, and getting Johnny's story out. This is definitely an issue that in San Jose and Santa Cruz, we are going to, you know, work. It's important to get this open grand jury, like the Cardenas family was able to, you know, push for. Okay, so, Radina, you have a comment? No? Is there anything else you wanted to say, Sharon?
I wish you all the best of luck. I pray for all of you that you will be able to stop this. So you will be able to stop legal murder. That's what I pray for.
Sharon, I just wanted to let you know that we do plan on, you know, a group of us will come up, we'll find some weekend that we have the time. We will come up and have a meeting with you so we can strategize together, and then we'll come down here and implement our strategies. But just know that you have lots of people down here in what's called the South Bay who totally have your back.
Thank you so much.
And if anyone, you know, in Santa Cruz is listening to this, you know, wants to get involved and help out in this struggle, give us a call, Freak, at Free Radio, 427-3772.
Also, Sharon, this is Regina again. Would Johnny's brother that lives in San Jose maybe want to talk to us, or?
I can talk to Ryan and see.
Okay.
I don't know. Ryan's a pretty private person.
Yeah,
really
we used to be, too.
You know, they've lost their mother, and this is just another blow for Ryan to deal with. And he doesn't deal with this very well.
Yeah.
When my daughter died, I saw him when he came to the hospital to see her. And then I didn't see him for 2 months. He was not dealing with life well. And he was hibernating. He was just by himself.
Well, I mean, if he wants to come out and talk, Vita has our number. And, I mean, we've been through the same stuff, so...
And Vita is my doll. I really appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Where are you at again? Where do you live?
I live in Magalia.
Oh, in Visalia?
In Magalia.
Oh, okay.
I live up in the mountains.
Oh, wow.
Right above Chico.
Okay.
And I love it here. We don't have the violence up here.
Yeah, no, we have the crime rate over here.
We don't have that here. I'm so happy. I understand they've got crime behind us, but we never hear about it. We have crime down below, but right here, it's a wonderful, beautiful place.
And it's, you know,
and Johnny was up here 4 months ago. He left.
Yeah, it's like everyone, you know, deserves to be able to live. You know,
yeah, he did. He deserved to live. He deserved to live, to become a man, to hold a job, to have children, to be married, to become a grandfather. He deserved this. He had the right. God gave him the right.
Absolutely.
And it was taken away from him. And they didn't need to do it. He committed no crime.
Yes. Well, we have you and your grandson in our hearts. Again, thank you so much for having the courage to call.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, we will keep the struggle alive.
Thank you very much.
And, again, that was Sharon Jensen, the grandmother of Johnny Nicol. You're listening to Jail the Oppressors, Free the Oppressed radio show. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. on Free Radio Santa Cruz. We've been talking tonight, and we have a special program, Stolen Lives.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I throw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under I Ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And them hitting cameras in the street like watching us.
body with no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
To have a black male live a third of his life in a jail cell, cause the world is controlled by the white male, and the people don't never get justice, and the women don't never get respected, and the problems don't never get solved, and the jobs don't never pay enough, so the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in their back than fire back. We tired of that. Corporations hiring blacks, denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my raps. It's documented. I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathing it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's CeeLo for push-ups now. Many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell, cause the world is controlled by the white male, and the people don't never get justice, and the women don't never get respected, and the problems don't never get solved, and the jobs don't never pay enough, so the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.